Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. I'll begin reading with the first verse, but I'm not going to take the time to give you commentary on the first four verses. I'll save that for another time. We'll pick up the commentary with verse 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and the Jews went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? What a strange sounding question. Here's a man that has been paralyzed for 38 years. He was paralyzed to the point that he could not even move himself into the body of water. He had to have help. Jesus said, Wilt thou be made whole? When we read that question, our first instinct is to say, well, that's a silly question. But it's not. Who wouldn't want to be made whole? I know a lot of people that don't want to be made whole. Many people enjoy using their weaknesses as a means by which to indulge their laziness and live off of the work of others. America is filled with such people. People who loathe work. They use their wits to escape work. They know how to manipulate the welfare system to get every penny they can from their fellow citizens. In the church, few are working. Somebody said 15% of the people are doing 85% of the work in the average church, and I am convinced that that stat is accurate. The devil's minions are hard at work. We sit around and we say, why are we losing? Why everything seems to be against us? Why is the momentum going the other way? I'll tell you one of the reasons why they are winning. They are winning because they are working. We are losing because we are not working. That is why we're losing. Our people, it is a sick society that prefers to live off the public dole, feast off public welfare, and seek shelter in public security rather than endure the labor and the risk of liberty. That is a sick society. Jesus says to us as a nation, Wilt thou be made whole? And as a nation, we are saying to the Lord, no, we prefer to live in our sickness. Liberty Fellowship, God has given us an opportunity to make a difference. We dare not waste this opportunity. This opportunity may not be afforded us forever. While the door of opportunity is open, we are obligated, each of us whom God has called to this place, have an obligation to make sure this opportunity is not wasted. Liberty Fellowship, this lady right here knows more about grassroots work than the rest of us put together. We need dozens of us, not just 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. We need dozens of you, of us, all ages, old and young, to volunteer to help. Say to her, show me what to do, and I'll do everything I can to help. We need dozens of us. Go to her before you leave today. Show me what to do, and I will help. And then when she shows you what to do, do everything you can to help. We are going to work together, and we are going to make a difference, or we are going to sit on our blessed assurance and let the enemy take the ground. And I say to you, I'm not ready to give the enemy the high ground yet. Come on, Liberty Fellowship, let's get to work. Yeah. It's an election year. Come next January, if we have a GOP legislature, and we will, and a GOP governor, and I think we will, what good will it do us if we don't start changing the way the legislature and the governor's office do business? Who cares if it's an R or a D behind the name? We're not interested in party labels. We're interested in whoever is the civil magistrate upholding and defending the Constitution of the United States. We need to start making sure that these professing constitutionalist Republicans actually start enforcing the Constitution. And that means we start now. We start now. We start talking to these men and women now. We start lobbying these men and women now. We start making it clear in no uncertain terms that we're not interested in their party labels. All we care about are the liberties that are given to us by our Creator and their job as a civil magistrate to protect our liberties. If you are not working 40 hours a week, you have much time to do something. To do something. If you are working 40 hours a week, you still have some time to do something. Hold a sign. Attend a meeting. We need people at every civic meeting of any importance. If you pay any attention to the local political landscape, every time there's a, whether it's a school board meeting, whether it's a city council meeting, whether it's a county commission meeting, it doesn't matter what the meeting might be, the enemies of freedom will always have several representatives in attendance. Always. They are always there. They're taking notes. They're making phone calls. They're talking to the people. They're lobbying. We don't show up. We got more important things to do, like watching TV and whatever else it is that we do in our free time. We just don't think that it's important or whatever, and we don't show up. They're always showing up, and they're the ones that are making a difference in these meetings. We need Liberty Fellowship people, we need constitutionalists at every single meeting that takes place in our name, in our community. Liberty Fellowship, We need a band of you to make sure that it doesn't matter what the meeting is, there's always somebody there. We're taking notes. We're taking names. We're checking votes. We are taking everything into account. And whenever there's something of a more important nature, depending on the agenda, then the word goes out. And we don't just have one or two people there. We have 20 people there. We have 40 people there. We let them know that we demand that they uphold their oath to protect the Constitution of the United States. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Where are the other churches in these meetings? Where is their activism? Are you kidding me? They're not even open for their Sunday services yet. You think they're going to make an effort to go down to City Hall and protest? They don't even protest whenever their freedoms are taken away from them. They don't even protest when their First Amendment liberties, the freedom of speech, the freedom of worship is taken away from them. And they still don't protest. The churches of America, for the most part, are good for nothing. Absolutely good for nothing. We have an opportunity. You say that you believe in freedom. You say you believe in the Constitution. You say you believe in the natural rights of man as we preach it, as we teach it. And that's why you're here. Okay, it's more than just showing up on Sunday afternoon for a service and sitting in a chair and then going home for the rest of the week and not doing anything. There's phone calls to make. There's signs to make. There's action that needs to be done. There's meetings to attend. We've got to take advantage of the opportunity we have to make a difference in our community. I'm saying to Liberty Fellowship, it's time to go to work. Yeah. For the most part, Facebook is not productive. I'm telling you. You people, that you Facebook junkies, and you think you're really making a big difference whenever you post some little thing on Facebook. I'm telling you, for the most part, Facebook is a net negative on the freedoms of America. For the most part, it is a net negative. It accomplishes very little that's positive and much more that's harmful. I'm not saying there's no positive. I'm not saying there's not any benefit. I'm saying it's mostly negative. But sitting at on a Facebook, on your computer doing Facebook is not what I'm talking about. Complaining about the problem is not productive. We all know how evil the Federal Reserve is. The Federal Reserve's been around since 1910. It was made the central banking system in 1913. We know how evil the central bank is. Sitting around complaining and complaining and complaining and complaining about the Federal Reserve and about the New World Order and about whatever it is that you think is a part of all that is not productive. We know who the enemy is. We know what the evil things are. Griping about it and complaining about it doesn't change anything. We've got to go to work and change it. Wilt thou be made whole? I say to America and to all of us who love freedom, wilt thou be made whole? Well then get off of your and go to work. Yes. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? We've got to answer that question. How much do we want to be made whole? How much do we want to be made free? How much do we want our Constitution back? How much do we want the principles that we say we believe? How much do we want that? If all we're doing is sitting around and complaining about it and griping about it, we don't want it very bad. If we want it badly enough, we will work for it. We will expend our time, our energy, our talents in going to work and reclaiming the liberties that we say we want so bad. Verses 7 through 9. The impotent man answered to him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You know where this is going, right? I mean, if you've never even read it, you know where this is going. Jesus does not waste any time. He didn't waste any time in his life. And he won't let people that follow him waste their time either. This man, as soon as he was healed, the Lord thrust him into the thick of the battle with the Pharisees. As soon as he was healed, he put him in the thick of the battle with the Pharisees. Rise, he could have said, rise and walk. Agreed? But he said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Carry your bed down the street and walk. From Matthew Henry. Christ would thus witness against the traditions of the elders, which had stretched the law of the Sabbath beyond its intention, and would likewise show that he was Lord of the Sabbath. You'll find that three times in the New Testament. The first one's Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8. Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath. And had power, Matthew Henry, had power to make what alterations he pleased about it and to rule over the law. Time out. If you will watch the Israel package, you will find this in great depth in some of the messages that I bring in that series. Christ is greater than Abraham. He is greater than Solomon. He is greater than David. He is greater than Moses. He is greater than the temple. He is greater than the Sabbath. He is greater than the law. Amen. You've got to understand this. Jesus is greater than all. Back to Matthew Henry. Joshua and the host of Israel marched around Jericho on the Sabbath day when God commanded them. So did this man carry his bed in obedience to a command. The case may be such that it may become a work of necessity or mercy. I talk about the law of necessity in my package, Natural Law, Liberty, and Government. One of the messages is the law of necessity. This is a law of God that has not been taught in the pulpits of America for the better part of 100 years. Maybe more than 100 years. But it's a natural law of God, and it's seen throughout the scripture. Matthew Henry is referring to that law of necessity. Next, he would hereby try the faith and obedience of his patient. By carrying his bed publicly, he exposed himself, listen, to the censure of the ecclesiastical court and was liable at least to be scourged in the synagogue. For carrying his bed on the Sabbath, the Pharisees could have had him scourged, whipped, cat-o'-nine-tails, in the synagogue. Now, will he run the hazards of this in obedience to Christ? Yes, he will. Those who have been healed by Christ's word should be ruled by his word, whatever it cost them. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Jesus knew that the Pharisees' mandates were not the law. Just because the Pharisees said it was the law didn't make it the law. I'm here to tell you, a governor's mandates are not the law. This report just came out within the last couple of days, written by our friend Tim Brown over at Sons of Liberty Media. Let me just read you this news report. Many people today want security and safety above liberty and freedom. Often they want government to violate their liberties and even the law in order to give them the illusion of security and safety. Such was the case of Washington State Governor Jay Inslee. Inslee declared a state of emergency earlier this year, and now a court has determined that he has no lawful authority to enforce his proclamations contained in it. This ruling was brought about due to a lawsuit filed by Restored Washington, an organization whose mission statement is to, quote, create a large organized network of folks to keep Olympia in check through the initiative and referendum process - legislation by the people, for the people, close quote. According to Mike McKee, co-founder of Restore Washington, the ruling is a huge victory for Washington State citizens. In a Facebook post, McKee wrote that the organization, quote, joined other citizens in a lawsuit filed in May to challenge the governor's emergency proclamations. Shockingly, Governor Inslee told the court that he could not be sued because he will not enforce the proclamations. I mean, these politicians are not normal. They're not normal people. They go to school somewhere in outer space, and they learn how, all this kind of double talk, and to them it's just normal speaking. But it's not normal. They're not normal. They don't have normal brains. They don't have normal hearts. I can't be sued. Because I will not enforce the proclamations. Today, the United States District Court agreed. Governor Inslee does not, will not, and cannot enforce his proclamations, close quote. This is great news for citizens of Washington, said McKee. We at Restore Washington have always known that the proclamations went too far and that the rule by press conference and enforcement raids is impermissible and un-American. The governor finally admitted what we've always known. He doesn't have the authority to enforce these so-called mandates. If businesses or individuals like his recommendations, they can comply. But as he told the United States District Court, he can't make you follow his foolish edicts. After this ruling from the court, Governor Inslee has to publicly admit that what he has told the courts over and over, his proclamations are suggestions only. Close quote. It's not the job of you business owners to become a Nazi stormtrooper on behalf of a out-of-bounds, unconstitutional governor. Your job is to meet the needs of the consumers and to keep our free enterprise system going strong. Not to become a Nazi cop. And we, the people, need to let these businesses know that we will not tolerate that tyranny. We will not allow them to tread upon our natural rights protected in our Constitution without a fight. Yeah. May God help the people of our country to understand that it'll be a mask first. It'll be a forced vaccination second. It'll be the mark of the beast third. This is a step-by-step planned program to enslave the people of the United States of America. I am shocked and saddened at the way pastors and Christians and professing conservatives have rolled over and allowed their liberties to be taken from them so easily. Shame on you. By the way, there's a new website. This is for all of you in Montana and all of you in other states as well. There's a new website just been created this week. It's called MontanansUnmasked.com. I want you to write that down. MontanansUnmasked.com. I want you to go to that website and I want you to sign the petition, which is a petition to our governor here in the state of Montana. You will need to use a Montana zip code in order to sign this petition. So, MontanansUnmasked.com. Open that, go to the petition, and sign it. Put your name, your email, I think it'll ask for, and your Montana zip code. Please help us. We need thousands and thousands of people to bombard Helena and the governor's mansion with the message, you have no right to mandate such a thing, and we demand you rescind it. Do it now, please. Christians and conservatives are going along with this corona scam-demic because Trump went along with it by blaming China. Now listen to me very carefully. This ruse was not hatched in a lab in Wuhan, China. It was hatched in the back rooms and the cloak rooms of Washington, D.C. Get that through your head. The longer we talk about Wuhan, China, biological lab, and all that, we are giving legitimacy to an illegitimate ruse that is stealing the liberties from the American people. Could they have manipulated a lab in Wuhan, China? Maybe. Maybe not. That isn't the issue. The issue, we are dealing with evil, wicked tyrants inside our own government that are using the events of our country in order to enact their evil machinations, resulting in the loss of our constitutionally protected liberties. That's what you always have to keep in your mind. Did you know that the CARES Act, the COVID-19 multi-trillion dollar stimulus bill, was written almost a year before the coronavirus was even discovered? Did you know that? It was. It was written over almost a year before anybody even heard a word about coronavirus. How could that be? How could they write a bill which came to be known as the CARES Act, went out trillions of dollars to give all this relief for COVID-19 a year before COVID-19 even existed? It's because they knew what they were going to do. They knew the plan. They've already got legislation planned for forced vaccinations. You can count on it. They've already got legislation planned for all kinds of things. Already planned, already written. All they're waiting for is the opportunity to enact it. No, this is not spontaneous. This is not China. Wake up, people. Our main problem is not the Chinese. It's not the Muslims. It's not the Russians. Our main problem is our own politicians and our own pulpits. That's the problem. Every time you start talking about China, every time you start talking about Muslims, every time you start talking about whatever the foreign entity might be, you are aiding and abetting the agenda of these inside globalists inside our own government that are manipulating this, planning this, executing this. You are giving aid and comfort to them. Stop it. But Christians and conservatives all over the country are going right along with this because it's China. Trump's protecting us from China. Trump is looking out for us. Trump is our savior. Trump is doing everything he can. Bless his heart. He doesn't get any help from anybody. He doesn't even get any help from his own administration, even his own cabinet. Duh. Who put those people in his administration and in his cabinet? Donald Trump. Trump can't appoint the globalist, CFR, elitist in his cabinet and then turn around and complain about the global elitist in his cabinet. It doesn't work. I'm sorry. Verses 10 through 16. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then they asked him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. He didn't know who the man was that healed him. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. Interesting, as soon as the fellow was healed, he went to the temple. When you get saved, you want to be around other believers in the house of God. It's natural. Jesus findeth him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus. He was excited to know who it was. It was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. That's your Pharisees for you. That's your legalists for you. Israel package one, I have a message. Christ, high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Folks, it's so frustrating. I realize it took me a long time to see the truth. I've given you my testimony. I realized that my eyes were not opened for many years. So I try to have patience and understanding for people that who were like me in a position of blindness to the truth. But I got to tell you, I am convinced that there's a lot of people that this is not simple blindness and ignorance. This is willful ignorance. And there's a big difference between simple ignorance and willful ignorance. Jesus is not a priest after the Levitical order. I explain it in depth in this message. One of the messages, it's in set one. The entire scope of understanding by most evangelicals is nothing but a Levitical priesthood. That's all they know. Everything is the law. Everything is centered on Israel, the temple, the priesthood of the temple. That's all they know. That's all they care about. They associate prophecy with all of the above, the Jewish law, the Jewish temple, the Jewish priesthood, the Jewish sacrifices, the Sabbath day, the Jewish day of rest. That's all they know. It's all Levitical. It's all Jewish. But the New Testament is crystal clear. And if you've watched the messages in package one of the Israel package, I explain in detail that Christ's everlasting priesthood is not Levitical. Not in any shape, manner, or form. Our great high priest, Jesus Christ, has a Melchizedekian priesthood. He is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You have to understand Melchizedek, who he is, what kind of a priest he was. To do that, you've got to study Genesis chapter 14, which I've done. I did it in the message here. I also have a message entitled A Biblical Portrait of the Righteousness and Requirement of Bearing Arms. Now, this message shows God's law relative to the right of his people to self-defense, the right of his people to keep and bear arms. Our right to keep and bear arms is not given to us by the Constitution or by the Second Amendment. It is given to us by our Creator. The Second Amendment of the Constitution only protects that freedom, that liberty, that right that God gave us. So that's the focus. But this chapter, 14 Genesis, is the focus of this message. We talk about Melchizedek, the high priest, who blessed Abram after he returned from the slaughter of the kings. That's the way it's worded in the King James Bible. The significance of that you can hear in that message. All I'm trying to say here, in context with this message, is that the priesthood of Jesus is not Levitical. The focus of prophecy relating to Christ is not Israel. It's not the temple. It's not the Jewish priesthood. It is Jesus Christ. The revelation is not about Israel. When you read the book of Revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. It didn't say the revelation of Israel. It's not about Israel. Prophecy is not about Israel. It was never about Israel. It's not about Israel now. It's always been and always will be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's priesthood is Melchizedekian, not Levitical. That is important to this story because these Pharisees were focused on a Levitical priesthood. They were focused on an Old Testament law, and they were trying to hold that law and their interpretation of it over the head and over the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he refused to submit to their erroneous doctrines. He's greater than the temple. He's greater than the law. He is the author of the law, and he is the interpreter of the law. That's what it means. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Take up thy bed and walk. It's the Sabbath day, and I want you to show those Pharisees, those Levites, those scribes, and those elders that they have no authority over the Sabbath or over Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Take up your bed and walk! Verses 17 and 18. Jesus answered them, "My Father," and here is the theme of today's message, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Do you see that? Underline that. "My Father worketh, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. I find it humorous. Apostate Christians say Jesus never claimed to be God. But the Pharisees who crucified him knew he claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to be God because he is God. I have a message entitled, The Cults Are Wrong. Jesus is God. That's how you can identify a cult. They deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are among a group of professing Christians that deny the deity of Jesus Christ, you are in a cult and you need to get out post haste. Jesus is God. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Yeah, I'd say he worked. John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We only have a certain amount of time to work, folks. One of these days, it's going to be our turn. And we'll never be able to work again. And then we're going to look back over our lives and we're going to wish we'd done that. We're going to wish we'd done that. We're going to wish we'd done that. Well, instead of wishing we'd done that then, why don't we start doing it now? And we can say like Paul, I fought a good fight. I must work the works of him that sent me. John 17:4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. I have finished the work. This is a great verse. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In other words, talk is cheap. Yeah, that's kind of right. I saw how you did that. Talk is cheap. Oh, yeah. Talk means nothing. I've been listening to conservatives get around in these meetings, and that's all they do. They love to hear themselves talk. They love to hear themselves sound important. They love to get up and talk and impress everybody with how much they know. They talk, they talk, they talk. What's that old rock and roll song? You talk too much. You talk about people you don't even know. You talk, I don't know how it goes. You know it. Some of you know it, huh? That's all we do. We talk. Talking isn't going to get us anywhere, folks. 1 Corinthians 16:10. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may come with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Timothy works, and I work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them which are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Revelation 22:2, one of the last things in the Bible. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. When we face the Lord, we are going to be judged by our works. Or lack thereof. All these people are talking about how much they're looking forward to heaven. I don't know. I'm not sure. The first little while may not be all that pleasant. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged by talents God gave us, the opportunities God gave us, and what we did or did not do with those talents and with those opportunities. We all have X amount of hours in a day, in a week, in a month. How we spend that time, we will give an account God expects us to work. He expects us to be busy in the things that are of God. And let's be clear as I close. Our works for God are because we are saved, not in order to be saved. We're not working to try to get saved, because you cannot work for your salvation. Dear friend, I hear these Christians on television, and many of them have wide audiences. And many of them have good positions on certain topics. I listen to some of them and I can agree with that. Yeah, that's right. But then they throw in works salvation. They throw in baptism salvation. They throw in sign gifts salvation. Church membership salvation. The very second they inject works into the salvation message, they expose themselves to be Christian apostates. They are false teachers. They can be right about a whole list of things, but if they're teaching people that they must do good works, or they must be baptized, or they must join the church, or they must speak in tongues, or whatever it is, in order to be saved, they have become complicit in the spreading of false doctrine and are culpable in sending people to a devil's hell. They're false teachers. There is only one way of salvation, and that is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My dear friend, if you are trusting anything to take you to heaven, if you think you're going to heaven because you're baptized, if you think you're going to heaven because you've joined the church, or because your good works are going to outweigh your bad works, or anything else, if you're trusting anything other than what Jesus did for you on the cross, my dear friend, you need to repent of that false teaching and come to the cross of Jesus Christ and receive Him by faith. We are saved by grace through faith, minus and plus nothing. Or we're not saved at all. I would dare say the vast majority of Christian teaching in the church today is a false gospel, because they are teaching works salvation. Jesus died for you, was buried for you, rose again from the dead for you. Believe on Him. Trust Him. Receive Him. Put your faith totally, completely in Him, and He will save you. Anything other than that is a false gospel. We're not working to try and get saved. We're working because God saved us. And He put within us a holy desire to serve Him with our heart, mind, body, and soul. Liberty Fellowship. Liberty Fellowship My precious Liberty Fellowship, let's get to work. Let's stand for prayer.